Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Someone asked me yesterday if I always wanted to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as to what we share on each day's call. The answer, of course, is yes. We have ideas. But if we're not peaceful or it doesn't seem to flow, then we know it's not the Holy Spirit. We love how the Holy Spirit can give us something fresh on a particular topic time and time again.
In Joshua 1, verse 8, very popular with us, in the Classic Amplified Bible, Joshua 1, 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success."
So, honey, now we're going to talk about the seven laws for our personal success. Yours, those listening to you, yours, my baby, and me, all of us.
Hallelujah.
Number one, the law of faith. Your success in life on every level is directly proportional to your faith.
In Matthew 9, verse 29, it says, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you." Personally, we like the Living Bible translation also, which says it this way, "Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen." Because of your faith, it will happen. Wow.
Said at the same time.
Amen. Many people short-circuit their plans for success because they are all over the fear of failure that is they think is going to hold them back. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." Some of the translations say fear. "Of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control."
Fear and faith can't live in the same house. Either one or the other dominates and is in control of our mental thought processes, our actions, and our reactions. As we've said many times before, fear is the devil's anointing. It's produced in our minds, whereas faith comes from the Word of God.
Like it says in Romans 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God."
To be successful, we must be hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God as we have the law of faith operating in our lives. Number two, the law of confession.
Proverbs 18:21, also very familiar to us. Proverbs 18:21, this in the Message Bible. "Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose." Boy, that's getting it right down where it lives.
Absolutely. Just as God spoke the world into existence, God placed great authority in our tongues.
Think about that. In Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "I promise you that on the day of judgment, everyone will have to account for every careless word they have spoken. On that day, they will be told that they are either innocent or guilty because of the things they have said." Now that
powerful
will make you stand up and think about things.
The Message Bible translation of that 12:36 says, "Words are powerful. Words are powerful." Think about it. One more thing. Your words can empower the devil.
And we don't want them to.
Nope. Your words have a magnetic power. They will draw to your life thoughts and actions that have the power to shape your destiny.
Proverbs 18:20 and 21. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life."
Wow. Our words have consequences, and the enemy is ever ready to exploit any and everything we say.
Mm. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, gives us this good advice, honey. "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour."
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for seeking is G2212, and it's defined as to seek in order to find.
Mm.
How will the enemy find us? Because he'll be listening for our voices.
Think about that.
Number three, the law of forgiveness. Several days ago on one of our Rich Thoughts for Breakfast conference calls, we pointed out that according to Strong's Concordance, the word repent is more properly translated in the Greek as change your mind.
In Acts 3, verse 19, Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord."
God forgives our sins so that we can forgive the sins of others.
Hallelujah. Matthew 6, verse 14, Classic Amplified Bible. "For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you."
This law is real simple. When we forgive, God does too.
Mm.
Number four, the law of reciprocity. Reciprocity is defined at dictionary.com as a mutual exchange. I call this law, if you do this, God will do that. Have you ever noticed that when God gives you a promise, he must always give you a warning? And I shouldn't say you, he almost gives a warning to those who fail to obey, because I'm sure you obey.
That's true. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchful to do them." As Harold said, he almost always gives us a warning so that we want to pay attention and obey.
Now, we love Deuteronomy 28:13, but yet we're not too happy about Deuteronomy 28:15. However, this verse is part of God's law of reciprocity.
Deuteronomy 28:15 in the Classic Amplified says, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you."
Well, number five, the law of increase. In 1 Kings 17, the widow Zarephath gave her food to the man of God, although her food supply was scarce. But by doing so, she received food enough to last throughout the drought because God multiplied the seed that she'd sown. The return was not luck. It was the result of the direct application of God's law of increase. The widow gave her precious meal, and God returned to her an abundance of meal. He fulfilled the divine principle found in the word.
In Luke 6:38, it plainly says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, give," meaning give, "it shall be measured to you again."
The widow did not run into a streak of good luck. She obeyed God's law of increase by giving when the man of God asked her to sow her precious seed. God honored his word by bestowing increase in her life.
Hallelujah. Matthew 13, verse 23 in the Classic Amplified says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as he was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30.
You know, honey, that's our kind of law.
Oh, yeah.
Number 6, the law of attraction. Here are 7 keys we find in the law of attraction. First, you attract positive and negative experiences based on your thoughts.
Think about that. Second, your focus makes the attraction inevitable.
Third, always trust the Holy Spirit, not your emotions or circumstances.
Fourth, you must see yourself as a magnet for success and rich thinking.
Fifth, create a confession about what or who you want to draw into your life.
Sixth, don't allow yourself to wallow in temporary detours or defeats.
And seventh, trust God that whomever and whatever he's drawing into your life is worth the wait and all the trouble. Now, here are 3 key scriptures for the law of attraction.
Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever ye ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you, and it will be yours."
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see.
And Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17 says, "He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were."
Hallelujah. Number 7, the law of prosperity. 3 John 2, Amplified Classic. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers."
Isaiah 48:15. "I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous."
You know, the law of physics says that for every action, there's a reaction. If we keep his commands, we can expect magnificent rewards.
Hallelujah. Psalm 84:11 in the Classic Amplified says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly."
What is the future of those who take the Lord at his word, who activate these 7 laws of success? Job 36:11 says, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures."
Wow.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
I'm claiming that.
Let's claim them all.
I mean to tell you.
Honestly. Before we go, Harold and I wanted to ask for a special prayer for a good friend, Beverly, out of Washington, D.C. She lost her mother.
Yes.
Yesterday. And we just want you to keep her in prayer.
She is one sweet lady.
I'll say.
And so just pray that she be comforted by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And find peace in the midst of her loss.
That's it.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.